Psalm 66, verse 8. We read that together, but I'm going to read it again because there's a couple of things I want to point out. And then after I read it, I want to tell you the thought that we're going to be talking about. But I want to kind of set you up to really hear this thought. So Psalm 66, verse 8. And I'm going to be reading all the way up to verse 12 from the New American Standard. It says, "Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined." Now, during the season of testing that we were in, we received revelation. We acted upon that revelation in faith. Remember, revelation brings possession. So we begin to take hold and possess some things. And then as a result, the word was tested. The scripture says every word is tested. And so we begin to go through a season of testing. And I almost want to say a series of tests. It's almost like after you pass one test, then there seemed to be another and another and another. It seemed like it was one thing after another. It seemed like the enemy tried to hit you on every side. And so during that season of testing, we know that God allowed it. Not that, you know, I don't believe, you know, God doesn't cause misfortune. He doesn't do that. But during the season of testing, he allowed it because the testing was actually against him. And the only way for his word to be tested is for those who carry that word to be tested. And so when that word is tested, your faith is tested. Your faith in the word and your faith in God is tested. And so when we went through that season, our faith was tested, but also during that season, we were refined. Say refined. We experienced the pressure and the heat of testing, but then it began to reveal or allow what's on the inside of us to come out more to the forefront. Say glory to God. And so a lot of times God allows that thing because at the end of testing is blessing. And so I'm going to talk to you about the season of the dreamer. Say dreamer. Now, I have not spoken to Apostle about the word he's going to share, but I know what God has said to me, the part that I know about 2020. It is the season of the dreamer and the season of the visionary. Say glory to God. Because everybody in here is a visionary and a dreamer. You might not think so, but you are. A lot of times what happens is we kind of sit back and we allow the head visionary to be the one we, you know, vision to come to pass and stuff like that, which we should do. We should submit to leadership. But, not but, and your dream and the vision that God has given you plays a significant part in the fulfillment of the dream for this house. When you hold back on walking in the dream and the vision that God has given you, then there's a peace that should be manifested through this house that isn't. But this is the season of the dreamer. This is the season of the visionary, the season of the trailblazers. We went through a lot of testing because we are trailblazers. We are clearing a path. We are not pathfinders. We don't have to follow the path somebody else has made. We create our own path, which is why sometimes when you are in a state of walking out dream and vision, people will not understand. And so we have to, one, try to help people understand, to help them get on board, and at the same time, continue moving. Because sometimes people don't see what a dreamer sees. People won't see what a visionary sees. And so, but this is your season to not only see it, but to walk in it. I'm not talking about a daydreamer. A daydreamer is somebody who just dreams and never moves. I'm talking about an active dreamer, someone who dreams it and then acts upon it and passionately pursues seeing it come to pass. Now, a lot of people may wonder, what are we doing even with this space? Some people may say, look, the building looks old from the outside and all of that stuff. However, if you do the research, this building is a historical landmark in this city. When you take something that has history and then you begin to use it or repurpose it, and in some people's terms, modernize it in a sense, it becomes even more significant because you're carrying on legacy while establishing a new legacy. So you have to be a visionary to look at a historical building from the outside and then to come into a building and see what will be, not should be, but what will be when you walk through the inside. Because if you see through the eyes of faith, you can see that this whole first floor will be dedicated to Heirs Covenant Church. We will have different types of things going on through the church. But then the second floor will have businesses and programs. Third floor will have businesses and programs. Right now in the business arena, there's a thing called co-working spaces where entrepreneurs go to have a space just to work. Our vision is to do something like that for entrepreneurship. If you are connected to Heirs, you know we are full of entrepreneurs. So why wouldn't we help other entrepreneurs? If you are connected to Heirs, you know that we encourage fulfilling purpose and destiny. What is that? For some people, that's starting a business. For others, that's growing their business. For others, that's providing some other type of service. So you have to see through the eyes of faith what God intends to do with a particular facility, what he intends to do in an area, and what he intends to do in the region. You guys following me? Okay. Because if you don't look closely at what God is doing, you will miss it. And you will say, you will begin to get into why are we doing this, why are we doing that, and then you will miss what God is doing. So I want you to really, really, really look through the eyes of faith and dream with God. Because right now, God is inviting us to dream with him and to dream again. Because some people have stopped dreaming. Some people have lost their dream. Some people have disqualified themselves thinking it's too late. They missed their season and all of that. But I want to tell you, it is not too late. You have not missed your season. You can dream and you can dream big. Say glory to God. Now, that wasn't in my notes. That was all just for you. That was all prophetic. So I hope you received that. Now, verse 11 says, you brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. Now, the going through fire and water, that's the season of testing. Now, what happens after that testing? He brought us out into a place of abundance. Psalm 118 called it a large place. The King James version of the same passage says, brought us into the wealthy place. Say the wealthy place. Say it again. The wealthy place is the reward after the season of testing, and it is the place where our hope is no longer deferred. Nina spoke prophetically to somebody about their hope no longer being deferred. The wealthy place is when your hope is no longer deferred because it is the place where what you are hoping for is manifested, so it is no longer hope, it is your reality. Say glory to God. So we are in the season where what we have been believing for is going to become your reality, but you have to receive it. God wants to fulfill our biggest dreams, and he's inviting us to dream with him and actively use our faith to believe and receive the manifestation. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 2. Now, this is a common passage because people quote this passage all the time. But let's look at it a little differently. It says, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it upon tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come, it will not delay. Now, when you just breeze over that scripture, it may appear like it's contradictory. Because it says the vision, it says it's going to come and not delay, but though it tarries, wait for it. So it almost makes you wonder, is it coming or is it not? But let me show you how Holy Spirit broke this down. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So there is an appointed time, a kairos moment for the vision and your dream to come to pass. And now what happens is, and when we get challenged is because there's often a difference between when the vision is revealed and when it's appointed to come to pass. A lot of times we think the minute it's revealed, it's supposed to come to pass exactly the way God showed us right then. He told it to me 5 minutes ago, and it should be like that right now. Well, some instances is like that, but sometimes there's not, because there's a process in between vision revelation and vision manifestation. That's why he said the vision is for an appointed time. Now, let's stop, because that has a semicolon there. Let's skip all the way through to the end of that sentence where it says, though it tarries, wait for it. Now, there's an appointed time for it to come to pass. It may seem like it's being delayed, but you have to wait for it. Say, wait for it. Now, this waiting isn't twiddling your thumbs and not doing anything. This waiting is waiting with expectation. In the Hebrew, the number 20 refers to expectation. So he's not talking about waiting and doing nothing. He's saying waiting with an expectation of the appointed time. That's why he told the disciples, he said, look, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. What did they do? They were in prayer. So we have been in a season of praying in expectation for the promise of the Father. This is our appointed time, heirs. This is your appointed time, heirs. Individually and corporately, this is your appointed time. This is your season. You are the dreamers that God is talking about, and he named a whole season after you. Say, this is my season. Now, it says, now if we back up to after the semicolon, it says, it hastens towards the goal and will not fail. And then if you skip down to the other part, it says, for it will certainly come and not delay. During the appointed time, that thing is going to happen quickly. During this appointed time, the dream, the vision is going to manifest quickly. It's going to hasten towards the goal. It will not delay and it will not fail. We are in that season. Now, if you don't know the particular vision or plan for your life personally, now is a good time during this season of prayer to seek the Lord and ask him to reveal it to you. Because your part plays a significant part in the house as a whole. The scripture in Ephesians says the body edifies itself in love when every ligament does its part. Now, the vision will certainly come. Now, let me give you some evidence. Look at Genesis 18, verse 14. Because at the appointed time, it happens. What God says, it happens. I am more convinced now than ever before that what God says happens. I've been in a season of testing personally, and what God has said has happened. And what God is continuing to say happens. I had a time where, and let me tell you how smooth God is. So I'm gonna give you a little detail that might be too much information, but you need to understand the backdrop. I was shaving, you know, what dudes do, trying to groom it up. And there was a particular person who I felt was being treated unfairly by some individuals who, well-meaning, have a good heart. I have a relationship with them as well. But they were treating this person unfairly. I said, God, give justice for, and I said the person's name. I didn't talk to him like he didn't know the situation, because he does. I just said, I feel like this is not right, how he's being treated. 2 days later, I got a call. Now, that was all I said. I didn't go into deep intercession. I didn't have to moan or groan at that point in time. I didn't have to do none of that. It was just the thought came to me. I spoke it to in conversation the Holy Spirit, kept shape. 2 days later, I got a phone call, and he said, you want to hear some good news? I said, yeah. And then he began to tell me certain things that happened. And I knew, now this person hasn't had any conversations with me about the Lord or anything like that. But what was described was a making right of something that I said was not right and asked for the Lord's intervention. 2 days later. And it wasn't like I had to go deep in prayer. I just had this, because I'm in relationship with Holy Spirit, I just had to say, look, I don't think this is cool. I need you to make this right. 2 days later, it was made right. So I was excited for that dude because I know that there have been some things going on in some of our lives that ain't right that we've asked God to make right. So there is an appointed time for stuff to happen. There's an appointed time. And so let me show you how good God is. Genesis 18, 14. It says, this is what the Lord said to Abraham. And this was during the time where he came with two other angels. You know, he came deep. You know, they were talking to Abraham. And he was about to send the angels on to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he's sitting there and he's telling Abraham, Sarah, you know, definitely is going to have, you know, a son. It's one of the times where he was confirming it after he spoke it before. Now, verse 14 says, this is what he said to Abraham. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, Sarah will have a son. Now, look how specific it was. God didn't say, at this time next year, she gonna get pregnant. He didn't say, at this time next year, she will be pregnant. He said, this time next year, she'll have the son. Meaning that at the appointed time, the thing will be birth. It won't be the time where the seed is planted. It won't be the time where the seed is being nurtured. It'll be the time when it's coming forth. Now, there is an appointed time for this thing to come forth. There is seed in you. There is seed that has been planted. There is seed that has been nurtured. But now is your time for it to come forth. Let me show you something. Genesis 21. It says, then the Lord, verse 1, Genesis 21, verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. He did as he promised. It says, so Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time which God spoke to him. At the appointed time, the thing that was in her had to come out. There have been seasons of testing. There have been seasons where we had to be received. There are seasons of incubation where we're nurturing that word, watering that word, watering the dream, nurturing the dream, praying over the dream, believing for the dream, getting strategy for the dream. But then there's a time for that thing to come out. Say, come out. In you, this is the time for everything that God has deposited in you to come out. I'm just waiting for a little more excitement. I didn't want the golf clap. I just want you to be ready because there's stuff in you that's been deposited for years. That's time to come out. See, sometimes people have overlooked you because you were nurturing what God had put in you. And they tried to like shortchange you and think, oh, they don't offer much. They just do this or they just do that. But they didn't know you were nurturing. And so you were hidden. But now you're being hid no longer. It's time to come out. Say, come out. God is expecting fruit and to bring forth what he has placed in you. And I'm going to tell you this. We all say the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he is, but sometimes he's not. I'm telling you, he's going to pull it out of you without your permission. He's not waiting on you. He's going to pull it out of you. So you might as well get ready, because ready or not, here it comes. Because this is the now season, the season of the dreamer, the season of all of you who are a part of this house and connected to this house in any way to come forth and bring it out. Say, come out. So you might as well prepare yourself so it can come out right instead of it come out by force. This is your season. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In this season, remember, God is doing a new thing. In Isaiah 43 and 18, and I'm going to go quickly because it's almost time for us to go. It says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Say something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now is your time, and God will do whatever it takes to make sure that your dream comes forth in this season, not next season, not the tomorrow season, not a couple seasons past, not 10 years from now, but right now in this season, God is going to bring forth. He's doing a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Say now. So you need to be aware of it. It says, will you not be aware? He wants you to be aware. He wants you to look for it. He wants you to perceive it. He wants you to realize what season you are in and look for opportunities for what's in you to come out. Look for opportunities for the supernatural ways and things to be aligned for you. Look for opportunities for your dream to manifest. You got to seek it and then you will find it. If you knock, the door be open. Say, come out. This is your season. This is your season. Paul said it this way. He said in Philippians 4, verse 12, he said, not that I've already obtained or have already become perfect, but I press. I press on so that I may lay hold of for that which has laid hold of me in Christ, in the anointed one, in the anointing. There is some, you have to press to lay hold of what has laid hold of you. That dream that's inside of you has laid hold of you, and sometimes you can't even sleep well because you're thinking about it so much. But you need to lay hold of that thing, and you need to press so you can lay hold of what has laid hold of you. Now, here's how Paul said he did it. He said he pressed. That word press in the Greek refers to pursuing, to seek after eagerly, to earnestly endeavor to acquire. It talks about following after, running swiftly after. God wants you to aggressively, passionately, and swiftly pursue fulfilling the vision that God has placed on the inside of you. He wants you to accept the call to come higher. Because it says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is a higher level of operating that God is inviting you to come to. There's an upward call in the anointing on your life. A lot of times we picture the anointing just as when we get together and people are slain in the spirit. Yeah, that's good. But there's an anointing on you when you are in the places God has sent you in the marketplace to prosper. There's an anointing on you to attract clients. There's an anointing on you when you do a presentation for people to get it. You ever been in a meeting and you had to present something and it just felt like you could feel the weight of those words and it just kind of hit you on the inside? That's an anointing for you to do what you're supposed to do to expand the kingdom and to walk in this dream. This is your season, dreamer. This is your season. There is an anointing on you, but you have to be aware of it. You have to pursue it. You have to go after it. You have to run after it. And then verse 16 in that same chapter. Well, I'll start reading at verse 15. It says, let us therefore, as many are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. The same standard, the same place in God that you came to during the season of testing, that same resolve, that same confidence, you cannot let it slip. You have to hold to that same standard. The same, and I'm going to take it a little deeper, the same level of word that we've been receiving, you have to apply it and not let it slip. I know in any type of setting, there are people at different levels of learning and different levels of faith. But I'm telling you, God is not going to keep circling around teaching the elementary things over and over and over again, where every year the same word has to be taught without it going deeper. I'm telling you, God is requiring you now to begin to apply the word you've heard. He has taught you about breaking off or self-imposed limitations and living in the realm of ridiculous faith, and how to expand the kingdom, how to walk in the kingdom, what is the kingdom perspective, how to be prophetic, how to hear the voice of God, how to speak the voice of God, how to sing what the Lord is saying. And so he's expecting you to apply that right now, because there's an upward call of God, and all of us have to walk in the word that he has been giving us. Glory to God, because that word has been in you. Some of you been here for 20 years and you got 20 years of word in you. And God is telling you, get it out. He's pulling it out of you. Don't act like you don't know God. Don't act like you haven't heard nothing or learned nothing. You didn't get saved yesterday. This is your season, dreamer. In order to walk in it, you have to apply this word. You have to. You have to. Come on, come on, praise team. I'm going to show you something that God told me in Revelations chapter 3, verse 3. It says, so remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you won't know what hour I will come to you. It's going to happen unexpectedly if you don't wake up, if you don't make yourself aware. You have to remember what has been spoken to you. You have to hold on to it. You have to apply it. You have to think about it and meditate on it. You have to have that discipline of praying, spending time in the word, and spending time with the Lord every day. When you come here, the Lord is going to confirm what he's telling you so that you can walk out your dream, because this is the appointed time. His word cannot come back to him void. He said he's going to do something in your life, and through you, he's going to do it. He needs you to wake up and be aware of it. Get up. He's wanting you to get up. And he's calling you higher. No saint left behind. He doesn't want any of you to be an infant in the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you approaching him like you're an infant in the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you coming like you haven't heard word. He doesn't want the little bit of test to dissuade you, to make you question his love for you.
That's good, Jamal. That's right.
Get up. Now, I'm gonna tell you this. In this season of the dreamer, we will experience heaven invading earth like more than we have before. We also would tread above serpents. The scripture said he'd give us power to tread on. And we've had a season of treading on. Now, as we answer the upward call of God, we're going to tread above.
All right.
Because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above every principality and power and name that can be named. We're treading above.
All right.
But you have to do something. You have to release the pain and the hurt from the season of testing. Because the enemy would try to bring that stuff to your mind and have you like, this is unfair. They did this to me. They betrayed me. They did that. this keep happening, that keep happening. And then when you get into that space, it makes you, it blocks your vision. And then you come, can I just be real? Then you come here and be like, why are we doing this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Apostle, why? Apostle, why? Because your eyes have been tainted. Your view has been distorted because of the hurt from a season of testing. But we're not in that season no more.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, forget what's behind. You have to release and reach in this season. So I'm going to pray for you right now.